We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. This is Kel Dansby.
And it's Andreas Hale.
And finally, we are back from the Las Vegas Fight Shop here in Las Vegas on the Strip, Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino.
Yeah, it feels good to be home.
Yes, it's amazing. It's amazing. Man, we got a crazy week coming up ahead of us, and we had some good stuff actually go down the past week. But we got to start off the beaten track, and something that caught my eye, which is Nick Young has been all over my Twitter today, so I feel like I have to express my feelings on Nick Young. He knocked up his baby moms while he was still with Iggy Azalea. She left him. You know, it's beyond the whole D'Angelo Russell story that we talked about before. How foul is that situation?
I mean, it's almost like the average situation. Like, we hear about these stories all the time. You get back with your baby mama and you get another one. He's got the juice.
It's so dirty. Like, my whole Twitter timeline today was just rants of women saying, see, this is why you can't date a man with a baby mama. All this. Like, no, listen, this ain't the norm. You ain't got to go touch base.
Nah, that's not the case.
And she's not that sexy. Not saying that Iggy Azalea was that sexy, but there was no reason to backtrack. Like, it's cool, man. You have that. Move on. Like, to me, that's another sign of immaturity on Nick Young. This is why I wouldn't sign the guy. I can't give Saggy P a contract off of the strength of him still chopping it up with his baby moms.
I mean, how many players do this? Like this is just because it's Iggy, it's a big deal. If she was just the average chick off the street, we wouldn't be talking about this story like that.
Well,
like, how many baby mamas Kenny Anderson got?
Okay, but at least that's like the Dwight Howard mentality where you go and you hit the next hot Instagram model. I understand that. And usually you leave the person you're with for the next hot Instagram model and kind of play hot potato with IG thoughts. But this time, it's like, don't backtrack. You too good for that. Like, Swaggy, you are in L.A. He can't go get, like, a Kardashian or something? Pull a come up? That's what he needs. Grab one of his sisters. The one went back to Tiger. She was with PND. She got to be available. That's Swaggy's lane right there.
Hey, he's just messing up, man. Like, I don't know. Women weighing in on the timeline with this, why you can't date a baby. That's stupid. Like, grow up.
Right?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
faithful man of 2016.
Yeah,
you
I mean.
Got to join together.
Look, people cheat everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to play ball to be a cheater. You don't have to be you could be an IT tech and go backtrack. You know what I'm saying?
It's a good paying job right there.
I'm just saying. Like, you could work at Walmart and cheat. Like, everybody cheats. I don't understand why you look at Nick Young's situation like he's not supposed to cheat. Like, he's the one that has more chance to cheat than just about all of us.
I guarantee 90% of the people on my timeline had just been cheated on. 90% of those women.
That's a high number. And they're going to be tight when they hear that.
I'm just letting it be known.
And you know who else is going to be tight? They man. They man.
Oh, they're tight.
You
yeah.
just ratted them out.
He just said 90% of y'all are cheating. I'm like, nah, baby, I'm in the 10.
Well, that's what we all say. Like, that 10% stretches pretty wide when all the men have to answer that question.
Now, I'm telling you, yo, the Twitter women demographic, one, they're probably getting cheated on because they spend way too much time on Twitter. So they're always constantly tweeting.
Or they just don't have a man.
Oh, that may also be
bitter
true
women
they got
are
cheated
everywhere.
On.
Bitter women are everywhere, yes. Right? Just like bitter men are everywhere. It's just like when you weigh in on a basketball player's
can't
life.
Can't be a bitter men demographic.
Oh, there's bitter men.
Bitter men? Everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. We just handle it a little bit different. We're bitter. We're tight. We'll trash our exes. Like, I mean, men, we're
just not petty like women, though. Like, I don't see too many men, like, just Facebook blasting breakups.
Nah, we just have a different way of going about it. Men are super petty.
All right, like, but, like, you do me dirty, you know, a guy smashes a cousin or something. Like, they don't, like,
it's just
go
it's different
on
levels,
about it.
It's different levels of
emotions.
Petty is petty. That's, I mean, just, you know, I don't like trying to put everybody into the same box. It's just not fair. Yeah, like Nick Young did what Nick Young does. Like, I don't think it'd be much different if Nick Young was out the league. He'd probably still cheat on Iggy Azalea with somebody else. I don't even think it mattered if it was Iggy. He just went with what was familiar at that particular time. Went and picked up the kids. Yo, don't y'all watch Love and Hip Hop?
Like, it happens all the time on Love and Hip Hop. It's like, yo, I'm here to get the kids. Knock, knock, knock. You happen to be in some sweatpants and a wife beater just hanging around the house. You happen to have nipple rings. Boom, backslide.
I'm just like, dude, not that Love and Hip Hop is indicative of real life. Like,
we base everything on Love and Hip Hop.
Right, because you can't do that. But I'm just saying, like, all this surprise, like, oh, my God, Nick Young cheated. Like, surprise, Kyrie Irving's on a yacht with white women. Like, who, whatever. Like, Like, what are we doing? Like, everybody's arguing about this.
I find nothing wrong with what Kyrie Irving did. Let me put that on the record. We're going to talk about the BET Awards and all the pro-blackness here in a second, which I'm all for. But there's also a lane for the Kyrie Irvings of the world. My brother.
It's just
celebrating like a champion.
He celebrated his way. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether I agree or disagree with it, does it really matter? I just don't like the fact that everybody has a social media and everybody thinks they got a voice, and your voice is just not important. Like, I just don't care what you think.
No, that's true. That's true. It's been an awkward week for athletes and women. Thanks for reminding me of that Kyrie Irving situation.
Yeah.
The talent on that yacht wasn't great, though.
No,
I mean, regardless of race, color, credo, he could have done better. It was a bunch of fives rolling around that yacht.
What was that, the 2000 NBA draft? Yeah, that was the 2000 NBA draft on Kyrie's boat.
Yeah, I've seen better yacht parties in Havasu.
Yeah, come on.
He needs to step up to quality. You got a ring now, man.
Quality was trash.
You got a ring. So then, that was more of the problem.
Then he had the nerve to video. Like, come on, man. Like, look, if you're going to have a yacht party with a bunch of nickels, you know what I'm saying? A bunch of Canadian pennies. Dog, just keep it off online. Why we got to see this?
And his boys are trying to make a dollar. It doesn't matter if you have a bunch of dimes or a bunch of nickels. However you get there, you get there.
Nah,
they were
man.
Playing the odds.
I like my dollars crispy. I don't like a whole lot of pocket change. Like, my yacht doesn't need all that pocket change. I don't want all that. But it's just, you know, everybody's mad. Like, you don't know Kyrie Irving. Like, if you're tight about it, be tight. But it's just so much that goes into this. Like, how I feel doesn't really matter about the situation.
Everyone has a preference. Everyone does their thing. You know, baby mamas, obviously, are on the creep. It's an odd world right now that we live in, man.
Yeah,
odd world.
It is what it is. I don't care.
2016, Jay-Z is back.
That's
the
true.
Other big news of last week in hip-hop circles. Jay is dropping new music. I guess Jay is running Summer 16.
Right
Drake
now
said
is.
Drake said it was his summer earlier.
Nah,
Drake
owns
spring. Yeah, Jay is everywhere this summer.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm all right with it. Even though there's a lot of hate on the timeline as well for Jay.
Well,
if one more person calls Jay not the greatest of all time, I'm reporting him as spam just repeatedly until they get kicked off.
But you don't. That's why you don't really say that somebody's great while they're active. Like, this, it's a LeBron argument. Like, LeBron is hands down the best player in the league. When it comes to longevity, Steph has been great for the past couple of years, but LeBron's been the man. He's arguably the second best player in NBA history. But if you say that, people are like, nope, Kobe Bryant. They'll find somebody retired to put on top of him.
Always.
It's always the guys that are not here anymore that are better. So that becomes a challenge. But Jay-Z's he's doing it. Still, Drug Dealers Anonymous is still the best verse of the year.
Verse of the year. I mean, it's close.
Yeah. Well, with what?
I can't name anything on Chance's album that's really better than that. Chance has album of the year, verse of the year, Drug Dealers Anonymous. I listen to it all the time, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, the art of money laundering is told so proficiently with such poise and elegance that you forget this man was selling dope at one particular time.
He still got it. If he had to, he still got it.
So I'm saying, like, you take the game out the man, but you can't take the man out the game, or vice versa, because the man still got game. He's a businessman. He knows what he's doing.
He's just selling different stuff now.
But he got the keys. And
you know what? I could like that song a little more, though.
Without Future?
Yeah.
Yeah, take Future.
I wasn't feeling the whole Future.
Get him out of the paint.
He just repeated the same thing over and over.
Yeah, I'm not like Future's. I've said it before. Future's trash, all right? Y'all can come for me if y'all want to. Future is garbage. And the fact that Designer, we'll talk about the BET Awards, but the fact that Designer stole his style and basically has the biggest hit of Future's career.
Blew up.
Come on, man. Y'all need to stop. Like, y'all ride this Future bandwagon all y'all want. He won't be around next year. His career ain't going to be lasting much longer.
What do you think of the Designer XXL freestyle?
Man.
Yo, all the parodies have had me dying.
So
to the point of I thought of coming into the show and being like, yo, we got to make our own. But I knew you wouldn't go for it.
Nah, he's so terrible. It's like hip-hop, man, we should be ashamed of ourselves.
He said Timmy Turner.
Like, man.
Like, Fairly Odd Parents Timmy Turner.
The fascinating thing is that we have one of these every few years. Like, we've had, like, the Yin Yang Twins. We've had acts that are just, we look at and we're like, how the fuck did you get here? now Designer's here, and we're like, how are you still here?
Ying Yang Twins had a run. They were here for a second.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but you looking at me like fucking idiots. Like, you just looked at him like, God damn, they're stupid. They got to be stupid. Yo,
whenever you literally repeat Timmy Turner over for a minute and call it a freestyle, there's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, dude, Designer is trash.
And there were some other good freestyles, actually, from the Double XL.
Was dope. Anderson .Paak was dope. That's really it for me.
Oh, I like the...
Everybody else in that, I'm not really too much.
Lil Dicky was cool.
Oh, yeah, Lil Dicky was dope. Yeah, Lil Dicky was definitely dope.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there was other stuff to focus on, but nope. Timmy Turner made the headlines, and it's still going around. Bleacher Report made a parody asking KD to come to the Knicks off of that, and that shit had me in tears.
It's just
I've watched it like 100 times.
Yeah, Designer's whack. Anyway.
Let's talk about the BET Awards. We'll get to Designer on the BET Awards, but first, Beyonce and Kendrick opened it up. Beyonce, not a hologram Beyonce.
No, she was there.
Not pre-recorded. Yeah. She wasn't in London.
Yeah.
She was there, stomping around in a bunch of water, getting it in.
Yeah, first of all, water replaced fire as the element of desire at the BET Awards. Usually it's like fire everywhere. Now it was water. Like, Maxwell had an umbrella and shit.
There was still some flames. Future had flames.
Yeah, there was some flames. Like, Bryson Tiller had, like, a car accident. I don't know what that was on his set. But... I mean, Beyonce, she got albums to sell. She got a tour to do. And then she didn't stay for the awards. She got, like, Jay, leave the car running. She got off the stage and went to her next performance, next stop on the tour.
By the way, that London performance wasn't until, like, Tuesday.
What? Well,
so she didn't have to be there that fast. Like, she could have stayed and picked up an award.
She been at enough awards. Like, who?
She ain't flying, you know, like, American Airlines to London. She ain't going on Delta. She's, you know, she got the PJ waiting. She could have waited 2 hours.
Maybe she just wants to get back to Blue. Like, these award shows mean nothing.
They were paying her by the minute.
Yeah, it's like
she was like, "Yo, I'm out of here."
The Grammys, like, is I gotta sell this album. I still got an album I need to sell. Like, Drake's really running things on the charts right now, so I gotta sell this album, and I'm out. Like, you want, bye, see ya.
Her mama accepted the award.
Yeah, my boy Steve Pammen was up there with her, too. That's my boy. He worked at BET with me for a hot second. I don't know if Steve's listening, but he knows the nonsense we went through over there. But Steve was up there with Mama Knowles, and I mean.
When are you going back for these BET Awards? When are you going to bring it full circle and go home?
What?
I'm just, you know, just a little homecoming. Everybody popping up.
I've told you, I have no, like, award shows are not fun. Like,
everyone's forgiving
like
Mona, yo. Go back. Go back home. Give her a hug.
Nah, man, I'm good. I'm good. The award show as a whole, I mean, it was, look, BET Awards have come a long way. Ever since they completely screwed up the Michael Jackson one, which is the one I was at working at BET at that time and watched the turmoil, they've had good
awards. I thought Chris Brown did Michael Jackson.
It was like Neo, it was bad, right?
Is that not when Chris Brown cried?
I think so.
That wasn't horrible. Chris Brown crying like he broke down midway.
The show as a whole was trash.
Yeah. Audio problems always been the bane of, like, the existence. In which I didn't notice it this time. It's cool. They got edited versions for songs.
Right. They did right. And the Prince tributes were dope. Bilal murdered it.
Bilal was great. Like, it started off a little slow, and then when he picked up, I was just like, yeah, he's killing it.
Yeah, the Bilal tribute to Prince, I mean, it was perfect. I heard D'Angelo couldn't make it. He just couldn't deal with it or what have you. Would have been great to see him there. I'm not the biggest fan of Janelle Monáe.
She looked a lot better. I like her without the, you know, the Flossed in Paradise little front joint that Chris Rock has, or Chris Tucker had in that movie. I don't know. Like, her hair looked better. She had a better look. She's still wildly energetic. She's like the female Designer to me.
Yeah.
Like, you just bounce around for the sake of bouncing around. Like, someone just gave her, like, five mollies and was like, yo, here, hop on stage.
I mean, she did. I mean, it wasn't like her tribute was bad. It's just... They gave her all the good songs, too.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, they gave her the upbeat songs.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I don't know. There's other people I would have seen. But the award show as a whole, it was a good award
show.
Was
it better than Madonna performing?
Of course it was.
All right, like, there you go.
That was ridiculous. But this was a good tribute to Prince. This was a good award show. I wish...
Alicia Keys broke my heart.
Alicia Keys is trash, all right?
It's so sad to see a former bae of mine just fall off like that. Like, her and... The light-skinned Puerto Rican chick from 3LW were my bays for like 4 or 5 years for a second in New York. Oh, they were the hottest thing in New York, yo. Alicia with the braids, 3LW chick.
But Alicia could never sing.
What do you mean? Fallin' is a great song.
She can't sing.
She yelled a bit.
That's all she does. You know, Alicia Keys has no range. Like, she's not even a good songwriter. Like, if you listen to her songwriting skills, it's very juvenile. Like... My nephew could have wrote that shit. She can play some instruments, which is dope. But she's got a pretty face and has actually gotten her a long way.
The face is becoming less pretty as like she's doing like a lot of weird shit. Like her style was weird. I tweeted, I was like, yo, it looks like her and Swizz Beatz did the fusion dance from Dragon Ball Z and combined. Like, what was she doing?
I don't know.
She just gets mad free stuff off of Swizz Beatz. Who is he signed to? Puma, Adidas, or something? They just give her mad free shit.
Whatever it was. But, I mean, it's Alicia. I've never been a fan of Alicia Keys. Ever.
She was bae for a second. Oh, and that Fallen video with the braid, she walking down a block. Those were the golden years in New York, too. Yeah. Everyone was looking for Alicia Keys-style bae.
Yeah, she's a decent-looking woman, but her music is trash. Like, her voice is trash. And everybody's going to come. There's going to be people that's going to come to me right now. Yo, how could you? Yo, Alicia Keys' voice is garbage. I'm sorry. I ain't sorry for saying Alicia Keys' voice is trash. The girl can't sing. She can play the keys. She can tickle the twine a little bit. Like, but nah, man, nah. Y'all got to stop. Y'all in this Alicia Keys bandwagon, get off it.
Your boy Stevie was there. Next. What else?
I mean, Stevie's.
Stevie. Stevie did what Anderson did, in which he sang, he moved between all the instruments he can play, I would see him live. But I digress.
Don't do this. Don't do this.
Listen to previous episodes if you want to know my stance on that.
Don't do this. Stevie Wonder's damn near 7. He's older than Michael Jackson and Prince. And
true.
He's still able to get up there
I'm
and
glad
do
he's
it.
Here, though.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose him, too.
No, we
I'm,
can't.
I'll let it be known. Like, I don't want to see him in concert necessarily, but Stevie's the man.
You just got to keep putting that shit in
I'm
there.
I'm just saying. He's the man still. I love his music. It's great on my iTunes.
Move on. Listen to a past episodes. I'm not getting into this.
Let's not have Stevie go either. Too many people passing just in general.
It's rough. Ryan Jimmo passed over the weekend from
former
UFC fighter. It's like Pat Summitt. It's like, goddamn.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to get out of 2016.
Buddy Ryan, like everybody. Like,
it's July.
And it's just coming in waves.
Like, dude, Muhammad Ali, Prince, Fife. Like, when is it going to stop? We're bleeding here, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. People we grew up on, like, yo, you know, really got to slow down right now. That's pretty much it for the BET Awards. If you had to give it a full grade, what would you give it?
I'd give it a B+. I thought it was a good show. I thought it was a good show, with the exception of the whack-ass designer performance. I mean, Bryson Tiller's performance was actually kind of smart. And this is just me speaking out of vanity purposes. I feel like that they missed the wave on Drake when I was there. When I tried to put him on, they were so up on Gucci Man. Sidebar. Gucci Man, what the fuck does Gucci Man do in jail?
Yo, it's the best thing ever. I talked about it with my mom when she was on the show, when I brought the fam on. It's the best diet ever.
I need to get on that diet.
Yo, no fit tea, none of that on Instagram. It's
that's go jail to, diet.
Yo, jail
incarceration diet.
Real quick, you know, 2 years, come out. No need for Dr. Miami or nothing.
Yeah.
It's quick.
You get the incarceration diet.
He has a six-pack.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He's a whole different person.
Anyway.
Gucci clone, if you ask.
Anyway.
If you ask some people.
But you know, I think they're just trying to ride that wave now. They see that Bryson Tiller has a lot of potential. He resonates with a lot of people in the audience. Like, every hurt woman in the world is going to love Bryson Tiller. Smart move. Everything else, Beyonce's performance was great. I was surprised they actually got her. I heard the rumor. I was like, no, they didn't. But they got her and Kendrick. B plus show.
No, definitely. I agree. I'll give it a B plus. It takes a lot to get an A nowadays. Like, if you're not, like, you know. But time-wise, it was just too long. That's what really kept them there, too. Yeah, it was like the WrestleMania of award shows. It was like, there's another hour to this? Like,
yeah.
I've seen all I came to see. Like, I'm good. You can end it now.
Yeah, it was on too long.
Yeah, way too long. Let's talk about this upcoming fight week, though, because that's what we're here to do, talk about combat sports. There was nothing in UFC this week, really, but I still want to talk about UFC, and it's cool to have an episode where we don't have to break down fights or, you know, talk the X's and O's kind of the fight game, and this person kicks this well, and this person punches
this well.
Yeah,
you'll get enough of that next week.
No, but I got bombarded in my email with our fight schedule for next week.
Yeah.
And it almost made me, like, want to go to the gym. Like I had to do some cardio or something to get ready for it.
Bro, I'm already tired. And we haven't even started yet. We got Tuesday through Saturday. It's, like, 12-hour days minimum. Like, what sucks is for those of us who actually live in Vegas, we don't have the luxury to go up to our hotel room and go to sleep.
Yeah, we don't live close.
Home.
Yeah, we don't live close enough. Like, I don't feel like taking that 20-minute drive, then having to come back later that night. It's not even a possibility, really.
Nah.
Because we'll end up missing something. There's one day I think it turned out to be a 14-hour day. It might be Thursday when we have those fights.
Yep.
And, you know, open workouts for the Friday fight.
202 press conference.
Yeah, they just stacked it. So we stay down there the whole day. It's crazy. Shout out to UFC, at least for feeding us.
No Mayweather special this time.
Well, no. That's,
if you guys don't know, the Mayweather special is this Mediterranean spread that they roll out.
It's the worst food in the world.
It's horrible.
It's bad.
And it's like rice pilaf, some weird meatballs.
Some Greek with stuff with yogurt on it.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's the worst meal. So we pray for like the Mexican spread, which is pretty good. The hot dogs hamburger spread's not my favorite. But, you know, the media food usually – they're trying to step their game up.
Well, yeah. They got to. We got a long week. You got to feed us. I don't need to be patting. And then it's like 117 degrees out here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and we got a media tent.
I wonder
I
if they
out.
Give us. Did we do?
For UFC 200. So there's no media center in the arena. So there's a tent outside. So okay. Everybody who's flying in, who's going to be sitting in the tent outside. So I guess it'll be similar to the Mayweather-Pacquiao situation.
Wait, so the fighters are in the tent?
Like apparently, they're moving the fighters into the tent.
You have to do all the interviews in the tent.
Right, and then you got to go back into the arena. So
I'm
going to have a hell of a time.
Air conditioning in this tent.
There better be. It's 117. I don't want to die.
Like, okay, yeah. I don't want it to be like Ringling Brothers. Like, we're outside and sweating bullets. We got to dress up nice and everything.
I got to see. They should be doing it right. But I talked to them because, you know, I'm trying to figure out because, you know, I got to do my share dog thing with the interviews, and I got to help Ioli on Yahoo side of things with coverage and everything else. So I'm trying to figure out where the hell I'm going to be. So yeah, there is a tent that's going to be outside for 200.
I wonder if we can ask Dave Schaller for a Slurpee machine.
Dave doesn't like when I talk about the UFC's food.
So, like, yo, Dave, it's 200, man. Like, let's just get a Slurpee machine.
Yeah, I mean, that would be fantastic.
It'd be amazing. A nice little Hawaiian Punch Slurpee.
Look, this is about to be a rough week. And I've told pretty much every other outlet that I write for. It's like, I'm not going to be doing anything next week.
Yeah. It's like, there's no time. Just looking at the schedule, it's like the same thing we had in December where it was like, yo, I don't even know what I'm going to write because it's like one event and then the next event and we have to eat theoretically sometime. And I don't even know when I'm have time to crack open my laptop and, you know, put out content that I'm seeing.
Yeah, it's going to be wild.
It's crazy.
You know the best thing, though, because I go back to last December. It's like a high school cafeteria. Like the homies are in town and everybody's at the UFC events. We're like quiet as kept. We don't talk about the fights as much as we talk about other bullshit.
Yeah, mostly hip hop wrestling.
Yeah, we talk about everything.
It's kind of like our show.
Pretty much. It's pretty scatterbrained, but everybody's there. Everybody's there, and it's like a big party. And last year for the finale, we got Bud Light.
Yep, all the Bud Light you can drink. They had to roll me out of there at 1 a.m. No Cerrone on this card, so I don't know if Bud Light's coming through.
Yo, whoever comes through, like, I'm not drinking, so.
You're still not drinking?
I told you, no drinks for this year.
This year? Like,
12 months, no alcohol.
So you're telling me if I throw a party for Wrestle Kingdom, you will come and get tipsy?
If it's after the first?
Of course. Yeah. Wrestle Kingdom's always after the first.
Yeah, so if it's after the first, then maybe. Because there's a possibility. Look, I've drank my liver into oblivion over the years.
You just going to stay on the wagon?
I might. Like, yo, me and Royce had a conversation about this the other day.
Sweet nectar. Yeah.
Me and Nicola had a conversation about being sober. And it's like, I didn't drink as much as he did. But just for health purposes, at a certain point, you're like, man, maybe I don't have a desire for it like I used to. So, yeah. Maybe no liquor for longer than a year. Somebody's going to be like, bullshit, but I'm going to give it a shot.
You and Royce are on the wagon.
Yeah, I mean, Royce.
Like, Royce is on the wagon.
That was a different level.
No. Like, obviously, anyone listening to Royce's music or listens to his interviews will know that was a mandatory thing to keep him around, which I'm glad. He actually does look in better shape.
Yeah, I mean, it helps. It gets the weight off you, and, you know, I just – don't feel like – I mean, it became a crutch for me at one point. Like, I couldn't go anywhere. I was like, yo, is it an open bar? Not going. And I just wouldn't enjoy myself anywhere without liquor. So, yeah.
All right. We're keeping you on the wagon. So, you can pass your beers to me if that's the case. Yeah, we'll find you some water.
And I don't
do,
like
– Endless Sprite, too. Endless Sprite, Endless –
I don't do, like, O'Doul's or whatever that non-alcoholic beer is. Like, that's stupid to me. Like, people are like, won't you – like, look, I don't drink because I like the taste. Like, there are some drinks that are mighty tasty, but I don't drink because it's my desired taste of the day. So, yo, have a non-alcoholic beer. It's the dumbest shit ever.
Yeah, no, it's you're not to that level. It's fine.
Never.
You drink for a purpose. Talking about UFC week, you know, to kind of just bring everything together, what's – the hardest part for you to handle during the week? Like, if you had to pick out one thing, like, yo, this is the toughest thing to do during fight week.
Eating. Eating is number one on the toughest thing to do list, because what it is you get there, you have a press conference, You get, we have media day, which is, I do video, fortunately, that day, so I don't have to write nothing. Then it's like, well, when do I eat? Because I have to pen a couple of columns. And then we have the fight itself, which, man, we get Shake Shack again. That's yes. The other thing. They're going to give us meal tickets.
Meal tickets?
So we get to eat whatever's in the arena. So Shake Shack, here I come. But, yeah, it's just the trying to eat and then trying to do things that happen. Like, if you have anything else going on in your life during this time, it's just not going to get done.
Yeah, I would say sleeping would be the worst part because, I mean, I don't get home till 1. I'm going to participate in the extracurriculars of the week. You are not. You're going to play the old man role.
Yeah, no, like, absolutely not.
It's all right.
Parties and all that? I've done all that, and I just don't have the energy to go. Like, you're going to see Paige VanZant and Lil Wayne.
Yes.
I have no desire to see either of them in a club atmosphere, ever. Like, ever. Even Wayne in his heyday. Like, you know how that club is going to be?
It's going to be crazy, and that's why I'm being sent there. Want a column on the atmosphere of Fight Week alongside with Fight Week.
There's a lot of people in there.
I don't know. Like, with the Floyd stuff, I used to write the columns on the atmosphere, and it was like, yo, there's nothing but ratchets. We've got to see the crowd that UFC 200 brings out.
That is going to be.
So is it going to be corporate? Is it going to be, like, Ratchet Weekend? Is it going to be?
It's not
going to
be Ratchet.
No, so I got to write about the ambiance of the week. So I got to go to all these things, and I'm asleep like 3 hours.
You enjoy going to a musty-ass club and watching Lil Wayne perform at like 4 a.m.
Yo, I haven't been to a club in forever, too. Like, me and my girl, we just go to bars or, like, downtown and, like, fun stuff.
That's
lounges.
Cause you, look,
I haven't been to a club in a second.
I don't have to push anybody at the bar, right, to get to the bar. Like, I can sit at the bar and order my drink.
Correct.
At the club, I got to overpay for a drink. And it – nah, I'm good. And now that I don't drink, you will not see me in the club. What the hell is the purpose?
Oh, yeah. Nah, I'm not paying for any drinks in the club. None. Like, either I'm going to be sober the whole time – or I'm going to try to, like, media my way into, like, a VIP section.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, that's the key, by the way, if you're in Vegas. You either need a good occupation that allows you to weasel your way into VIP, or you have to be a hot-ass girl that just gets pulled over into VIP. Right. If you're neither of those, no reason to go out.
And if you're black, you get no love.
Nah, yo. I've walked up to many a club love. And be like, can I speak to your managers? You know, like, yeah, I want to write an article about what's going on. And they'd be like, oh, come in, blah, blah, blah.
Yo.
It's like, oh, thank you.
I'll just never forget the time that I was with J. Cole and J. Cole was performing and we both couldn't get in.
What? Hold on. Where was this?
This was at Hayes at the Aria. So me and Shake went to interview J. Cole before he performed that night. This is Friday Night Lights era J. Cole. So we're with J. Cole, and Jay's like, yo, come to the club. You know, I'm performing. We'll have a bottle. All right, cool. So I'm standing behind J. Cole and his crew, and I knew his manager, Mike, at the time. So we're like, all right, so we're just chopping it up, talking. So we get to the door, and they're like, you're not on the list. And he's like, motherfucker, I'm performing. So after a minute, somebody was like, yeah, that's J. Cole. He's on the flyer. So they showed him the flyer, and he got in. And they was like, you're not getting in with those shoes on. And I'm like, yo. So they wouldn't let – like, it took forever for me to get in the club. They wouldn't let me in.
What, you had sneakers on?
Yeah.
Yo, Hayes is stupid. I've walked into many a club. I walked into Light Nightclub with my Ninja Turtles T-shirt on.
Yeah.
A pair of cargo shorts and some kicks.
They were not having
like, yo,
it.
Whatever. I'm on the list. They were like, okay, and I walked right in.
They were like, this is a hip-hop club, but black man, you are not getting in tonight.
Oh, the hip-hop clubs are tripping. That's why there's no more hip-hop clubs out here.
Yeah, it's EDM.
EDM or nothing.
And they were like, hey, if you show up to the EDM, you's a brave motherfucker, so we'll let you in.
Yeah, but they don't say shit to me in the EDM clubs. I love those.
No, but yeah, all the extracurricular, you can have that, brother.
Town's not going to be EDM. It's going to be a wild night. I don't know how I'm going to handle that.
Yeah, you let us know how that goes.
I will. I obviously have to write about it. So I can't get too drunk there. I got to remember what the hell happens. That is the key. The best part of Fight Week would be what, if you had to say?
I mean, it's weird because it's not the fights. in this weird way, it's like a fight or two. Because what ends up happening is everything starts to blur together, especially when you have 3 fights on back-to-back nights. It's seeing everybody. It's like the camaraderie with everybody that you know. And shooting the breeze and talking shit. And MMA journalism was a lot different than boxing journalism because, like, boxing journalists are a little bit more stuffy and older.
Yeah, they're just older crowd.
And then, don't get me wrong, I'm cool with a lot of those cats. It's just MMA is just, it's different. It's a younger crowd. It's younger journalists. And it seems like we all like the same shit.
No, definitely. I can't wait. That's my favorite part, too. Just sitting down. We all sit at a table. Shiloh always makes fun of us because we all, like, gravitate towards each other. And we are just talking random shit.
He knows.
Yeah. It's fun, you know, just talking hip-hop with everyone and having Ryan McKinnell, who's been on the show, Danny Acosta, everyone who comes through. Jordan Breen come into this?
I don't know. I need to text Jordan because Jordan is my guy.
Jordan's hilarious.
Jordan is my guy. Jordan Breen is my guy.
Yo, the whole Sherdog staff. Yeah. It's just wildly funny.
Yeah, me, Mandel, Greg Savage. Like, I'm like the new addition to the Sherdog team. You know, I've only been there for about a year or so now. Maybe longer than that. But it's like hanging out with those guys. Like, this is kind of fun.
Yeah. Nah,
the Outlaws of MMA.
Nah, so it's dope. That's definitely my funnest part of the weekend. If you had to predict which belt changes hands, just early prediction, not going into the fight or anything, you have to pick one champion to cough it up. Who is it?
Oh, my God. If I have to pick one.
One. We've seen crazy belts change hands lately, so it's not like we could be wrong.
I would pick Claudia. Of all the people that I think have the best chance of winning the title, I would pick Claudia.
It's because they had such a close fight the first time?
They had a close fight the first time. I think Joanna's been great. She didn't look too great against Valerie Letourneau. Not to say that she won't be ready for this fight, but I think I don't know how much emotion is going to play a role in how Joanna fights this fight, and I just really like Claudia. I think she's a great fighter, and I think she's severely underrated. To most people, because they don't know who she is. After this fight, they'll know who she is. And I think she has the best chance. Then Cormier.
I was about to say, DC Jones, I don't know how to qualify that. DC would be the champion, right?
So he would cough up
the belt, I guess, in that situation.
See, in my head, I still call John Jones the champ.
Yeah.
Because he's like the interim champ who never lost. So it's just kind of like a unification fight. And the fact of the matter is DC is still number two to John Jones is number one in my mind and most people's minds.
DC has the rankings.
Yeah, DC has more to prove. So... And I still think DC has a great chance of winning this fight. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. It's hard to – you don't go into a fight betting against John Jones.
No, you don't.
It's a, you know, show me it and then I'll believe it type scenario.
And I love Cormier. And I think Ariel Helwani made a very great point that this fight is not just for the best light heavyweight in the world. This fight might be for the best fighter in the world.
He's only lost to John. I mean, a guy two
– I forget
division,
about that.
Two divisions. Realistically, if he stays in heavyweight, is he not the champion right now?
No, he's the champ. Nobody beats. I don't know who beats Cormier at heavyweight.
Nah, he would have beat Werdum.
Yeah,
and just mauled him for five rounds.
I mean,
he would have never fought Cain, but Cain's always injured.
You're right.
If right now he wants to move up to heavyweight, if he loses to John and says, you know what, give me a shot at the heavyweight champ, right now I'm picking him over Stipe. Right now.
I mean, I think we don't give Cormier enough credit, myself included, for what he's accomplished because he lost only the best fighter in the world. So this is for, like, fighter supremacy.
It is. It's crazy. And we'll talk boxing here in a second after the break, too. It's sad that we don't get to see these type of fights in boxing.
Oh, I'm about to railroad boxing in a minute.
number one versus number two, and we can have these dope discussions.
Oh, it's coming. After seeing Thurman Porter, yeah. After the break, boxing about to get the blues for me.
For me, it's, I think, RDA. I think, you know.
You think Eddie Alvarez has a chance to beat him?
I think so much focus is away from Eddie Alvarez. It's answering every question about Conor, coming off of an injury. What, you know, who do you want to fight next? All this stuff. What do you think about, you know, Nate if he wins? Will you fight Nate? Do you want to fight GSP? He's answering all these other questions. No Eddie questions. And to me, that's the ultimate trap. And the way I've been seeing it and seeing Bisping win and seeing Stipe win and all these guys who you're like, you know, a year ago, you're like, yo, these guys are never going to be champions. I think Eddie Alvarez fits the narrative, and I think he could be that next guy where you're just like, yo, he's UFC champion. I never would have thought this shit.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. The only problem with that is you can only answer what you're asked, and nobody gives a shit about Eddie Alvarez.
Sadly, yes.
And that's, I think, RDA can only answer what he's asked. Same with Misha.
How you answer it, though.
Well,
and
yeah,
we've done
true.
Enough interviews to be like, okay, well, you know what? It'd be great to think about GSP in the future, but right now my focus on Eddie Alvarez, blah, blah, blah. I don't hear any of that.
Well, no, I mean.
He's answering these questions, like, just all out. Like, you know, I would love to fight GSP. Like, yeah, but you'd have to have a belt. You still don't sell, my man. Like, it's indicative on you winning.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. It's just, I know, like, Misha has, like, I asked Misha, I was like, well, are you tired of answering Ronda Rousey questions yet? Like, how do you make us stop? Because we're not going to stop. And she was very frank. She was like, I wish I could just tell you guys to shut up, but I can't. Like, I got to answer these questions. RDA, I just don't think Eddie's going to have enough for RDA that night. Could be wrong. Eddie's been a great fighter before. I thought those Chandler fights at Bellator might have took a lot out of him. But we can analyze the fights next week. So
no, definitely.
It's a good pick.
Yeah, I mean, belts to change hands, all this stuff. UFC's coming up next week. But like you said, we got to get to boxing. We got to get to pro wrestling. Ton to talk about in boxing. It's crazy this week. So you guys stay tuned throughout the break. We got a quick little promotional commercial for you guys. Make sure you pay attention, especially if you're going to be in Vegas for UFC 200 week next week. And if you're here, stop by the Fight Shop while we're recording. Say
yeah,
what's up
we
to
don't,
us.
Look, we don't know when we're recording this. I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys this now. Next week, we will have a special guest. It'll be Josh Gross, the author of the Ali versus Inoki book. Which I just started reading, and it's really a good book. And I'm not just blowing smoke because he's a guest, or they used to work for Sheridan. But it's a great book about how that fight pretty much helped create MMA and pro wrestling, and it was a big deal for combat sports.
Definitely. So make sure you check our social media. We'll have follow-ups on all of that. But right now, enjoy the break. We'll be right back.
This is Kel Dansby.
And this is Andreas Hale.
And we are the co-hosts of The Corner Podcast, and we want to let you guys know that on July 8th at 6 p.m., the Las Vegas Fight Shop, home of The Corner Podcast, will be hosting MMA legend Randy Couture for a meet and greet and signing for everyone here for UFC 200 weekend.
And then on July 9th, man, Nate Diaz will be in the building from noon to 2 p.m. at the Fight Shop, signing all your autographs, giving you the middle finger, and probably giving you a Stockton slap. So make sure you come through the Las Vegas Fight Shop at the Miracle Mile Shops at Planet Hollywood. Again, that's July 9th, noon to 2 p.m. from Nate Diaz.
And July 8th at the Las Vegas Fight Shop for Randy Couture. Make sure you're there. Make sure you get your autographs. Make sure you check out everything going on UFC 200 weekend. And make sure you come and watch us record that Wednesday at the Fight Shop, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. We'll have a guest for you guys, a lot of surprises. It's a good MMA talk.
What up, everybody? Welcome back. Glad you guys stayed through the break. Now it's time to talk boxing, though, because it was a crazy week in boxing. We had a very good fight, fight of the year caliber fight between Sean Porter and Keith Thurman. As close to a fight as everyone thought we were going to see. A fight that everyone wanted. Two fighters in their prime really bought it. You can see that their training paid off. They came in and gave 100% to this fight, back and forth the whole time. I didn't watch it in real time. I was out. I took my kids to a fight, but you did. A lot of people did on Twitter. What did you think of the fight when it was happening?
I mean, I thought it was a phenomenal fight. It was the fight that I had hoped for. Sean Porter working to get inside. Keith Thurman working to keep him at a distance. The counterpunching from Keith Thurman was very effective. Sean would try to muscle him around. That was a great fight. Definitely conversation for fight of the year. It's going to be hard to beat Salido and Vargas, which was a hell of a fight.
I agree. It didn't have the knockdowns and the back and forth and everything.
But with that being said, the fact that it was a great fight on CBS in their first fight in, 40 years, that speaks a lot, and it could almost save boxing. But it's kind of too little too late to save boxing.
No, if everyone else jumped on board.
They won't.
And piggybacked and carried the momentum.
I'll answer your question. It'd
be fine.
You didn't even ask the question, but I'm just going to. It's not happening.
No, it's not going to happen.
That's the
problem. We'll talk about why it's not going to happen here in a second. But some other people have already booked fights behind it that's going to make sure that the momentum don't carry
exactly,
on.
Exactly. But going back to this fight, it was I had it a draw. All bullshit, I had it a draw. The scorecards were all over the place. Nobody really agreed on which rounds.
To me, the fourth round happened to be the swing round for everyone. Some people, you know, had it 2-2 after four, and a lot of people had it 3-1 Porter after four.
Yeah.
And in the end, when it all broke down, it ended up being a draw or, you know, Thurman winning because of that.
See, what this fight does for both fighters is, one, it sets up Sean Porter for another big fight. And this is the mentality I don't understand in boxing. Like, if you have a great fight, you will get another great fight. And Sean Porter fought an excellent fight. He's going to meet Keith Thurman again down the road, I hope. Because as much as they talk about an immediate rematch, I know Keith Thurman's handlers are just going to be like, yeah, we thought about that, and that's not a good idea. Let's go beat up Danny Garcia. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, somebody's got to go after Danny Garcia. But it does well for both fighters. They both had great showings. Neither of them looked bad. You can't argue about either of their game plans. It's like they did exactly what they did, and it just happened that Keith Thurman ended up winning.
Championship rounds, right? 10th, 11th, 12th came through.
hell of a fight. It was a hell of a fight. I picked Sean Porter to win originally, but it was the narrowest of margins, and what we got was a narrow fight, and I'm not mad at the decision.
That's as close as you can get, is there's no losers in this fight. I mean, one, I'm not a fan of, you know, anything being declared a draw necessarily. Like, I want to see a winner or a loser, but if anything had to be a draw, I can see how people be like, okay, that's a legit-ass draw.
Yeah, I start the 13th round, and just, you know, next January. So, like, do it again. Let's do it. Cause
let's make it a throwback. Let's go 15.
I don't know who a rematch helps at this, like, in terms of who would be better in a rematch, because it'd be the same fight.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying?
What, a difference of one round, two? That's the difference. One round. Like, that's all we're going to get. Yeah. It's going to go the same way. Sean's going to blitz him out the gate. And it's going to be like, yo, his volume punches are crazy. And Keith is getting overwhelmed. And then Keith's going to find his range and counterpunch. And then towards the end, you know, Sean just puts forth so much effort.
Right.
That when the output slows in the 10th, 11th, 12th, it's hard to maintain that. And to me, he learned in that Broner fight, like, you know what? When, even though your heart's in it and his head is in it, your body reacts differently in the 11th and 12th rounds. So he couldn't blitz Keith like he did Broner, because it ended up putting him, you know, on the mat. Because your body just doesn't have it still. So Broner caught him with a shot that probably wouldn't have fazed him in the third or fourth round and put him down in the 12th. And everyone's like, oh, he got knocked down by Broner. It's like, yeah, because he whooped his ass for 10 rounds. And he's tired. His body's physically tired, which makes him easier to get knocked down.
Yeah.
And he couldn't do that against Keith, so he played it a little smarter. But the output waned, and Keith were able to take the rounds. So, but I think we get the same fight, and I'm willing to see the same fight. I don't care. I'll say it again.
Yeah.
Keith hit him with some punches. That puts everyone else in the division down. Everyone else at 147 falls.
Yeah, I think Keith is going to have to change his name to two- or three-time Thurman. Because, yo, he hit Sean with, like, the house.
Everything.
And there was shots. Just,
and Sean wobbled a little bit.
Yeah, he got rocked.
But right back.
It was right back in the mix, putting the pressure right back on, staying in the pocket. Because I thought there was a minute there with Sean, I felt like his head was too still, and he was coming in straight up. But it didn't matter. Like, those counter punches that Keith Thurman caught him with were counter punches he should have caught him with.
Yeah.
And they were well placed. It just couldn't put Sean down. Hell of a fight.
Great fight. What's next for Sean Porter?
I don't know, man. They're like, 147s, there's a lot of fights that he could have. I mean, but I think they're not going to put him in there with somebody soft, but I think he'll get, like, a mid-tier guy, like a John Molina or somebody like that to beat up on. Just to get him back in the rhythm, even though he doesn't really need it. Kell Brook's title with Jesse Vargas.
Your boy, Jesse Vargas.
I've never been a fan. I don't get it. But
man, that hurts my heart. We'll talk about that in a second, too.
Danny Garcia has nobody to fight, but it only makes sense for Keith Thurman to fight him. But the mandatory is, what's the cat's name who beat Shane Mosley for the WBA?
Oh, yeah. I don't even remember his name, but it just happened a couple
weeks
ago.
But that's the mandatory, correct, which is terrible. And Keith,
I mean, he could take the mandatory and just wash him real quick.
He just shouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't even waste my time with that. Because
what, do you have to forfeit the belt?
Who cares? Like, you get to a certain point, if your mandatory is trash, this is not Canelo's situation. When your mandatory is not trash, your mandatory happens to be better than you. But your mandatory is trash, and it does nothing for you in your career. I'm not paying these sanctioning fees to keep this belt.
I mean, Golovkin does it for everyone. He fights every mandatory, but he fights four times a year because of it.
Yeah, he fights four times a year, but
he
fights,
knows he's going to wash
the
mandatory.
Who's going to fight him? These pussies don't want to fight him. And I'm just keeping it real. Like, there's a lot of fighters out there that be like, yeah, I'll fight him. They don't want to fight him. But in the sense of, like, Keith Thurman, it's like, all right, well, either I get Danny Garcia, who's a champion.
Yeah.
I fight him for a title. If I got to give WBA, so be it. If WBA doesn't want to recognize me and wants to recognize this other cat as a champ, fuck it, you can have it. But I think he needs that fight, and Danny Garcia needs to nut up and fight somebody.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen him tested at 147. We've seen him, you know, in some brawls at 140. But at 147, you get hit with a world of difference. So yeah. Garcia, right now, it's time to prove himself. I want to see Garcia get the Kell Brook fight.
For the record, I think Kell Brook washes Danny Garcia.
I think it's possible. Kell Brook, I don't like Kell Brook's style. I respect the results, because you have to respect the results. I don't like the style. Even the Sean Porter fight, I had to go back and watch it before this Keith Thurman one. And to me, he just held every time. Like, you close the difference, he'll hold you to death. And then as soon as you break up, jab, jab, jab. And he's still around that way. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you get close enough, he'll just hold you.
Yeah.
And Sean, to me, fought the better fight against Kell Brook. He did. Sean should have won that fight, except where he closed the distance against Keith, and Keith tried to move out and got hit repeatedly. that's when Kell Brook would just hold and said, no, the ref is going to break us up. He's going to give me the space, and I'm now just going to pick you apart from a distance. And I guess, you know, different styles for different players.
Like, Kell Brook had a little home field advantage, and, you know, Sean came into that fight trying to use his strength and his size and his muscle in fighting on the inside. Kell Brook held him. The referee never threatened to take a point away. So Kell Brook just did what Kell Brook did. But I think Kell Brook just beats the shit out of Daniels. Not even beats the shit out. I just think he outpoints Daniels.
He outpoints him. We'll see if Kell Brook – I don't know who he's planning on fighting in the long run. He has to fight somebody with credibility. Like, Amir Khan has to be on the docket sooner or later. I mean, you can't hold a major belt and then just fight nobodies.
Yeah, I mean, that's what boxing does. And here is my problem with
everything. It's the best division in boxing, though. Like, you can't just keep fighting nobodies.
It's boxing. Like, we just had a great classic-type fight. Maybe not the best fight ever, but it was one of the best fights we've seen in a while on network television. Why we're not following this up, I don't know. So I'm a little curious as to what we're going to do, because we get bums fighting bums or big names fighting washed guys. It's like, boxing just got to stop it. You got to keep the momentum going. Is the sound cutting out?
Yeah, go ahead. Talk now.
Yo.
You got to hold yours like I got to hold mine.
This is ridiculous.
Go ahead. Where are we at? All right. Big names in boxing.
Hold on.
I got a way to hold it.
Yes.
Shit. I say I got to, like,
monkey grip
yeah.
it.
Nope. Nothing. What happened?
No, I'm just really far out. Go ahead.
Well, do we have levels now?
No, you still don't have levels.
This? This thing?
No. That's. Yes, it's that.
Hello? Are we there? We're here.
Now you're good.
All right. Back to it. So the big names need to fight the big names in boxing. We got to stop avoiding that. It doesn't help. Like, fans get excited to see the big fights. And if you're going to give them a bunch of, you know, mandatories and guys who shouldn't be fighting each other, you got a problem. So it's like we just got teased with an excellent fight, but are they going to follow it up? Is the next fight on CBS? I guarantee you it's going to be like Danny Garcia against Bum A. It's like it's and Bum B, and there's like all these bums coming in that don't deserve shots. Like, put the best in with the best. When you win or lose, if the fight is great, you'll get another big fight.
I heard Bum B was mad trill though.
That's funny.
Just letting you know.
Thanks.
man. It's sad because I was on a different podcast this past week, and they asked me about the same thing. I was like, is this going to change boxing?
No.
And I was like, no, if they can't look at UFC and find out what made them so successful and just change on their own, they're never going to change. Because you look at a UFC guy, and before he gets his title shot, he runs through the gamut. A lot of guys got to go 5-1. You look at Wonderboy. Wonderboy's had to go through the gamut to earn a title shot. And imagine Errol Spence doing the same. You want to build a star?
Yeah.
You give Errol Spence all of these guys. You give him Danny Garcia next. Then you give him Sean Porter, who lost to Keith Thurman. Then you give him Thurman. Then that's how you build a star.
You work your way up.
You work your way through the ranks. If there was a true rankings, you go 5-1. You prove it. You earn it.
And then when you're at the top, you don't fight Liam.
No, you keep fighting number one contender.
Like,
number one contender.
Like, look at what Canelo's doing. Canelo, basically, I'm going to fight. Like, I'm not even going to blame Canelo. I'm going to blame Oscar. Oh, yeah, we're going to do Gennady Golovkin in 2017, right, in September.
Yeah.
So we're going to work our way up to 160. So
let's fight someone at 154, which makes sense because he's been fighting 147-pounders, to be fair.
Which makes sense if you're preparing for a 154-pounder.
No, he's working his way up. He's fighting a true 154-pounder. He's been fighting guys who are 147 pounds.
Like, come on.
They didn't lie to you. That's all I'm saying.
Are they on the way to 160? Like,
They did. He's been fighting people who are 147 pounds.
All right, so now you fight a 154-pounder.
Who's actually 154 pounds?
But isn't that good?
I'm just letting you know. They didn't lie.
Like, does this prepare you for a Golovkin fight?
It's a year and a half away. It does. It maintains the zero.
But you know
what's
funny?
Or, I mean, the one in the loss column.
It's a year and a half away, but realistically, it's two fights away.
For Canelo?
Yep.
With the two fights.
It's two fights, and you're fighting Liam Smith with your first fight.
Shit, it's two fights.
So who do you fight in your second fight? Do you fight a true 160?
No, to me, and this is what I thought as soon as it was announced, it was like, get him acclimated to 154, an actual 154, because he gave up the belt already. Golovkin's going to have that belt. To be a true A-side, I believe, regardless of what you feel about belts, you need to have a title coming into that fight. So you give him Liam Smith, then you give him the Charlos, have him take the 154 belt, be the true A-side, champion versus champion, going into the Golovkin fight.
Yeah, but no.
And I think that's how it goes. You give him this, the Charlo, and if they're that's smart, so they give him the stupid. Small Charlo. Don't give him the big Charlo.
But then you fight Golovkin at 160.
Yeah, then you take your chance.
You don't take your chance, you get your
ass.
You
don't take your chance losing before then, I'll tell you that much.
But I'm saying, like,
Oscar's not going to let him lose between now and that fight.
Because
and Golovkin, we'll talk about who he's about to fight. That's not going to be easy.
No, and I mean, he's fighting. I know, like, everybody's just no names, but, like, Canelo's become the king of this at this point. Like,
Canelo has the name, and that's all that matters.
Like, Julian Williams is the guy you had to fight at 154 if you want to prove that you're supreme.
No,
like,
one wants to fight Julian Williams.
No, nobody wants to fight J-Rock, but that's the problem.
I was going to say, J-Rock, we see J-Rock in the back of every, like, big boxing match for 154
just talking
pounds.
Shit.
Talking shit. Just calling people out the whole time.
But why is no he not getting these shots? But that's the problem. Like, Canelo's
too hard.
Canelo's just going to fight bums. And like fighting the Charlo brothers at 154 does not get you ready for a Canelo fight.
No, I mean, he doesn't want to lose. You just need something to maintain the A side, another flashy knockout. If you think he might lose anyway, you just do your thing. Like, you just go make sure he sells, and it's all good. Just don't take the L between now and then.
I hate it.
It's stupid. The fight should be now. The fight should be in September.
Yeah, the fight should be in September.
And if you want a rematch, go a year from now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, man, look, boxing, I love you, but you can kiss my ass right now.
Eubanks Jr. actually had a good fight, though.
Yes, he did.
And, you know, Triple G, like I said, is not going to have a cakewalk. Eubanks Jr. can't do the shit he was doing in that fight. He had his hands down the whole time. He's, you know, playing cat and mouse, putting his head there, chin there. Ends up with the knockout. Not the best way to prepare for Golovkin.
Nah, but you got to...
But he looked good enough to get the fight.
You got to earn your spot. So if this man has earned his spot, give him the
Triple G fight. And we'll kind of take it from there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't knock Triple G for fighting. Like, the division is washed. Like, Billy Joe Saunders doesn't want any part of Triple G. And I don't know who else he's got to fight. Like, now, he's the one
who has
to wait.
Time is now to fight Canelo.
He's got to wait. He's the one being forced to wait. Like, it's not like Oscar came to Tom Loeffler's office and was like, hey, man, let's wait till 2017. And Tom was like, good idea. Tom was like, you bastard. Like I want to fight now. Let's get this money now. What are we waiting for?
Yeah, because then at that point, you get the money twice, three times over.
It's
like, that's the key to, like, what happened to the trilogies? It's three paychecks.
You ain't got time. But see, I don't think it'll be a trilogy with Golovkin and Canelo.
You're
just
going to watch them twice in a row?
Well, I think he'll watch him once, and that'll be enough, and he'll never want to fight him again. He'll be like,
you put him back in there.
Who puts him back in there?
In general, you let him have another fight, knock someone out, say, I learned from that first fight, you throw him back in
and
there.
And get knocked out again. I'm
just letting you know.
I'm just saying. Like, I don't see Canelo being a problem for Triple G.
Only thing Triple G, even if he wins, Canelo has to go in there and keep it close. We saw that with Marquez Pacquiao. It's like, yo, Marquez, what, lost the first? Cool.
But they were so close. All those fights were close.
Came back in the second. Yo, I think he might have won the second. Throw him in again.
Yeah, but
he
never got knocked out.
No, and then Canelo's Pacquiao getting gets knocked out. That's a bold. I mean,
hey,
Canelo's not been knocked out.
I put my money on that like I put my money on Wonderboy Thompson. I don't think there's any chance that.
When Triple G and Canelo fight, automatic knockout for Triple G.
This is going to be a flatlining of Canelo. It's going to be a massacre.
No 12
No,
that's
man.
Bold. I'll say Triple G is going to win, but just I can't guarantee just a flat-out knockout.
It'll be a knockout.
Someone with a block head and extremely big for
that
the weight
body,
class.
That body is going to go to – it's going to be wrecked. I'm just saying, like, Canelo hasn't really been – like, okay, he got rocked against Miguel Cotto's brother. I was there for that, right? And he was smaller. He was 147, whatever. But – Triple G hits a lot harder than anybody that Canelo's fought. Not the undersized Miguel Cotto. Not Floyd. Like, there's nobody that's going to beat this man. And that's just how I'm looking at it. So, yes.
He's going to be older Triple G, 35.
Won't matter. The power goes nowhere.
All right. It's going to be an interesting fight. Someone else we saw fight this weekend, Anthony Joshua. Best heavyweight in the world?
I can't go that far yet. I need to see him in a.
Who's above him?
I need to see him in a real fight.
Regardless, I could look at the kid. I could look at everyone else, and I'd be like, "Yeah, he's the best heavyweight in the world."
I mean, I got to see how he deals. I think he beats everybody that's a heavyweight right now.
Fury. I want to see him against Fury. I think even though Fury's in a weird ass spot right now because like the drug allegations came up of him doping.
Yeah.
A while ago, which unfounded kind of, but I mean they just popped up his ankle injury. It's just a lot of shit against Fury right now. But Fury's awkward. His stylistically, it's just he makes the fight real ugly.
That's
what I want to see Anthony Joshua not get frustrated. Like, what happens when you just can't step in there and KO someone just because of their stupid style?
Yeah.
Or a very, it's not a stupid style. It's a very effective style. And we saw how it frustrated Klitschko, someone who was dominant against people before. I just want to see how the young kid handles someone like that, a true defensive fighter.
Yeah, I just have a hard time in any heavyweights, in UFC heavyweights, boxing heavyweights, to say that somebody's the best when they haven't fought the best hitters out there. Like, he could fight
like Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, like, I'm not a real true believer in Wilder. I think he benefits from his height, his reach, and his power.
He's a one-trick pony, but it's one hell of a trick.
Right, that's a trick you got to get past, and we've seen it in most fights. All it really takes is, it truly takes one punch.
That straight right is no joke.
So with Anthony Joshua, like, I think he could beat Wilder, but I need to see him do it. Like, I need to see him beat, like...
I need to see him take a punch.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to see you eat one of those rights.
And that hasn't happened yet.
And that was the greatness of the heavyweight division up until what? The '80s, maybe.
Yeah, 90s? I mean, that was boxing. Like,
yeah, you saw people take punches. Like, yeah. Everyone got rocked at some point.
Now everybody's concussed and can't talk. But hey, man, that's what you fight for, to please us. Thanks a lot. They're putting your brain on the line for us.
You're the real MVP.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's getting close though. Him versus Wilder. Wilder wants that fight right now.
They should do
smart.
It right now.
You know what? Take him before he learns and gets his wits about him.
I mean, he's already got his wits. Joshua was an Olympic gold medal. So, and I think people, like, that's why I like Anthony Joshua a lot. I just
Olympic
need to
boxing,
see.
Professional boxing.
Hey,
take him now before the kid really figures it out, because he's on the upward climb.
That's
true. He's only getting better.
You look at guys like Golovkin. You look at guys like Lomachenko, who I think is the most skilled boxer in all the fighting.
I was in
right
New York
now.
For the Lomachenko fight.
Yeah, it's,
Jesus.
You look at guys who make that transition from amateur to pro, and realize like, oh, I can hit him as hard. I'm not here for points. I'm here to win.
Lomachenko had some stupid amount of amateur fights, though, right?
Yeah,
like
he lost
50
one.
Or something?
It was 375 and like 374 and one.
One, yeah.
And he avenged that defeat twice. He is the most skilled boxer in all of boxing in terms of skills.
Oh, the power follows.
The power, the footwork.
It's right there.
He's got all the tools.
Yo, I saw him with that right cross, left uppercut combination, and it hurt me.
It's going to be hard to beat that
dude. And that fight, I was in New York. You know, I put my laptop down in press row, and I brought my grandma to the fight. So I didn't even sit in my press seat. I went up into the stands and sat with my grandma, and I still felt the shot.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Puerto Ricans everywhere lost a chip of their heart.
Crazy, crazy, crazy.
I mean, that's boxing. Before we get out of here, you know, we always got to talk pro wrestling.
Yeah.
So this week, start off, Seth Rollins came out Monday Night Raw, talked about Roman Reigns. He put him on a Summer Jam screen.
Well.
Like Jay.
It was
everything besides the little ballerina outfit.
It was the 5-year anniversary of the CM Punk pipe bomb.
It was. It was very pipe bomb-ish, by the way.
It started pipe bomb-ish.
Yeah, you know,
then it was like
I got a microphone.
Yeah, and then it went into kitschy WWE territory where everybody comes out and kind of ruined what momentum Rollins had, turned him back into a true heel, even though he's not a true heel, not right now. But yeah, it's like, I mean, you can't ignore it. I know they debated, like, what are we going to do for the next month while it's fooling on TV and everybody knows it? Everybody knows what's going on. There might be like 12 kids. It's like, where's Roman Reigns?
So just had to lift the veil. A lot of people asked me, like a lot of grown-ass people who watch us, hey, what happened to Roman Reigns? Where's Roman Reigns? Like yo, he's suspended. Like, a lot of general public people just didn't know. If you don't have Twitter, I don't think you knew.
Yeah, well, you can't avoid that one because wrestling fans know. So, whatever. I thought it was
Now everyone knows.
Yeah, I thought it was a good way to start. It just, when everybody came out, I was like, damn it, I thought Rollins was going to get his little moment. He didn't. And we went back into the
scriptedness.
Scripted territory of maybe AJ and John Cena would get in. And as soon as AJ lost... I mean, as soon as Cena lost, you were like, oh, who lost first?
Cena lost first.
As soon as Cena lost, you were like, well, there's no way AJ is going to win.
No.
It was like, why am I even watching the rest of Raw?
Yeah.
Hey, can I point out one thing real quick? I think I saw the worst match I've ever seen in my life on Raw.
Really?
The Miz versus Kane.
It wasn't good.
It might have been. Maybe not the worst.
This can't be an elongated program, can it?
No, but I mean, from Kane basically looking at Maurice and she just falling in the worst acting job ever, to The Miz just kind of pulling Kane off the across the top rope, and Kane falling like he got hit with like a brain buster and staying on the mat for like almost to the count of 10, to The Miz having to carry Maurice out and then getting fooled with a terrible acting job. This was a trash-ass match.
Okay, so I'm watching it the next day on Hulu.
which is my preferred way of watching it.
It cuts everything down, right?
Yeah. It goes by way faster. It's an hour and a half instead of 3 hours.
Which is good.
Which is great. It's perfect. It's condensed. It's how it should be. Hopefully, it's how it will be in the future if everything goes on to the network, which would be amazing.
Yeah.
And you don't need television to carry your stuff. Anyway, it was an hour and a half. It was great. And as soon as I'm watching it, you're texting in the group chat that we have, and you're like, it's the worst match ever. Swear to God, I went, got food, came back, fast-forwarded. I didn't even watch the match.
Yo, it was so bad.
I just took your word for it. I was like, nah, you know what? We're good.
It was so bad. It was so fucking bad. It made me mad how bad it was. You know, it wasn't the worst match ever. We've seen really bad matches. I think, like, Charmel, Booker T's wife, was in a really bad match. But, yo, in terms of, like, somebody the caliber of The Miz, who I thought has been a good IC champion, to just kind of enter in this weird thing
it's
with
It's time
Kane.
For him to give that up, though. Like, it's time to enter him in a real feud. Have someone take that back.
Man, I don't know what's going on with this brand split. It makes you feel like the next couple of weeks of, like, SmackDown and Raw are pretty fucking useless.
They are useless.
Because, like, everything changes once the brand split happens.
Yeah. It's a great – I mean, they're building up to the brand split, and it looks like – and we'll talk about this here in a quick second – that Owens and Zayn will be on opposite ends of the brand split. And that's the next way they're going to tease this rivalry. It's a great rivalry to me. I love them in every match they've been in. And they have spots together where you're just like, I want this one-on-one feud. And it looks like they're trying to do a one-on-one, like, one-off. And then split into the brand and maybe save it for Mania or something. And they have a title.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they came out. It's both. So we have Zayn versus Owens at Battleground.
Yeah, they don't even need a stipulation. Just do it.
And yeah, just wrestle. It'll probably match of the night.
Maybe, yeah, hopefully.
I mean...
Yeah, maybe Cena AJ gives us a better finish than the first one that you didn't like so much.
You would think, but...
It's
therein
WWE.
Therein lies my question. With Cena and AJ, is AJ Seth Rollins of last year? Is he the weak paper champion? Because if they bring in another belt in the brand split, I think AJ's going to be the champ first before Cena takes it. And he'll be a coward champ because he'll always need the Bullet Club to come and save him. No different than J&J security.
Yeah, it's WWE like, booking.
And you hated that with Rollins.
Oh, I hated how he was booked.
And I feel like AJ's on the same path.
If he's on the same path, I'll hate it just the same. Because, I mean, you could be a heel, but, yo, let some of these guys shine. Like, make them feel like they're threats.
Let them win clean.
Yeah, let them get
foreign,
one over.
Yeah, foreign thought. Like, something New Japan does all the time. People love New Japan.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. Like,
even when Bullet Club was there, people still won clean.
I don't know where any of this stuff is going. Heading into the brand split, and then we got SummerSlam coming up. Like, I don't have a clue. So I'm just kind of like watching wrestling and just like shrugging my shoulders like, well, shit happens. Like, I don't know. Like, I really have no idea what's going to happen.
What do you think of Wyatt's in the New Day?
I feel like this is stupid, making the Wyatt's heels again. Like,
they were over as kind of like a face group.
Yeah, like, well, so I get that they're trying this Xavier Woods thing where, like, Xavier is, like, entranced with, like, the Wyatt family because he doesn't jump in on the jokes. And he's doing a good job with it, but it just feels really awkward in terms of – like, pairing these two groups together, it's not like The Shield and the Wyatts at one point. It's like comedy team versus serious team. We're going to crack some jokes here and there.
Even though The New Day, when they came out dressed as the Wyatts.
That was funny.
That shit was hilarious.
It was funny. But I don't know. I feel like they're going to try something with this program that may or may not work with Xavier Woods.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that the Wyatts have to lose again and be buried after.
Maybe they won't lose.
Maybe they win.
It won't be the
it won't
titles.
Be for the titles.
It
but
may be a 3-on-3 and, like, Xavier Woods gets kidnapped on some Daniel Bryan shit from a few years ago. I don't know. But maybe he turns on them in the match. Like, I don't know.
I understand the Wyatts are – they're trying to make them ambiguous. Like, they're not faces. They're not heels.
Now I feel like they're making them heels again with this program. I feel like you're making them
because then they'll – I thought they were building up to the Wyatts versus Lesnar feud. And
they could still go that route.
They could, but, I mean, Brock's currently –
what?
Tied up. So,
yeah, he is.
With that being said, even in that feud, Brock is kind of always a monster heel. So now the Wyatts become kind of the face in that situation. And I still think, like you said, I think that's going to happen. And Bray's going to use all this UFC shit, win or lose, in his promos against Brock Lesnar. The other thing that we saw, Sasha Banks is back. Oh, it's so nice to see Bay.
Yeah, so I happy. Mean, looks like she's beat up on Dana Brooke for a little while before she gets to Charlotte.
Yeah, Dana Brooke. I'm not a fan of what they're doing with Dana Brooke. Why is she always the lackey now?
Well, because Dana Brooke's not a good wrestler, first and foremost. And she's still having a hard. It seems like she's like
they called
nervous.
Her up way too fast.
Yeah, it seems like she's nervous on like when she botched the putting Charlotte's leg on the bottom rope.
Yeah,
like how do you botch that? Like it still seems like she's trying to get her groove. So they'll just let Sasha trash her for a few matches before she gets her hands on Charlotte. Which is another thing. Like, are they fighting at Battleground?
They have it has to be a tag match. I mean, Sasha and Paige versus Brooke and Charlotte, and then maybe, I mean. Paige will have to take the pin.
Are we splitting the
Sasha
girls up?
Sasha Banks has still not been pinned in a match.
They won't recognize it until like SummerSlam. Like they won't like really start recognizing it until SummerSlam. Because I feel like you gotta. If
oh, I know. I follow Bay closely. She has not been pinned.
Yeah. No. But this program again, the brand split. Do they split the girls up? I hope not, because there's not enough of them.
Nah. I mean, well, actually, I don't know. Maybe they'll call a couple of women up.
They don't need to call any more women. Those women in developmental need to be developed.
Bailey?
Bailey could be called up. That's like the only one though. Like you could call up Asuka, but then the
division is
it's barren. Like you can't mine NXT.
Well, then Carmella has to make her run as champ, and her and Nia got to go and develop on the fly.
It's like you can't mine the entire NXT because you're doing a brand split. Because then you render NXT useless. Which leads me to another weird point. When this brand split happens, we do the draft. How are they doing this draft?
Okay, that's what I'm wondering. Like, does Shane come out and talk to Stephanie and be like, we're drafting all the people on the roster? She's like, okay. He's like, and the NXT roster. And maybe you just have, like, 30 and 30?
Like, I
maybe
just,
there's
see,
a player cap.
Like, if, okay, so then let's just say we go that route.
Best
we do
30
that.
And 30.
Like, let's just say we go that route.
Yeah.
And for storyline purposes, you know, you pick Finn Balor and you pick American Alpha, but you don't pick Samoa Joe. How do you not pick the champion of NXT for the main roster? How do you explain that shit?
He's the champion now. I mean, NXT.
So how do you not pick Nakamura?
Yeah, I don't know.
See,
if you go best, because you can't explain it as best 30 for 30.
Exactly.
Because you're going to pick Titus and fucking make, what's the guy?
Who, Kalisto? I mean,
no,
pick somebody.
Titus's old partner, Darren Young.
Yeah.
Make Darren Young great again. He's going to go above Nakamura and Samoa Joe.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's a flawed concept, but you can't crush him with everyone.
It's the draft is.
Are you going to go best 30 people? You know why you can't go best 30 and 30? Because you can't move people down. And that precedent hasn't been set. You want to make Darren Young great again? You don't draft him, and whoever's undrafted goes to NXT. And you make him great again in NXT. Or you move people down. There's no reason I need to see Titus every week.
It's
back down.
The whole thing is a flawed.
It has to be fluid if you're going to do that.
It's a flawed concept because on top of that, it's almost a no-brainer that.
So you got to go three NXT people each. How about that?
Well, then, again.
Each get three NXT.
Again, you don't draft.
You draft them wherever you want.
You don't draft into Samoa Joe.
You only
Joe,
pick six.
And you don't draft Nakamura?
No, you get three, I get three. This is what they say. You get three, I get three. We draft them whenever we want. So then someone takes Bailey first overall.
Uh-huh.
Then the next person takes Balor. And then the next person takes Alpha. And you go. And
then who?
Then you go Joe.
But Joe's not getting drafted. Joe's staying in NXT.
No, but you can draft him, and he could defend his title.
They're not going to do that, though. You know that, right?
Kevin Owens pulled double duty.
But they're not going to do that with
maybe
Joe.
Not.
Like,
well, then you draft. Well, they're not moving Knock.
Like that's my whole point, is the draft system is flawed if you do it in order, because you're automatically creating a pecking order and telling people, well, you ain't shit. You're going to be a jobber.
You know what? Knock has to come up. Knock's a star. He has to come up. And what's his face is coming back? Atami.
I don't
want to be like, you know, full WWE mode. I don't want to put my Vince hat on. But there's only so many ethnicities allowed on the roster at one time.
I
don't think Vince is going to look at it. If Vince has any control over NXT, he'd be like, we have Asuka, Nakamura, and Hideo. One of them got to go.
Dude, it's a mess. Like, all right, so let's just say you pick Finn Balor. Where
yes.
do you pick him? Like, if you pick him in the top three, you're saying, okay, he's going to be
star.
Our star. But if you pick him, like, 17.
And just finagle him in there?
It's the draft concept is flawed. That's all I'm saying. It's terribly, terribly flawed.
What do you want? You want like a lottery system? Like the NBA draft?
Maybe.
Just have the balls pop up?
I don't know how you do
and rig
this.
It? Because it'll rig it, but it'll make you feel better.
Because guess who's not getting drafted? Titus O'Neal. Like if in real life.
In real life.
Heath Slater's not getting drafted.
If this is schoolyard.
Yeah.
I'm not taking any of the social outcasts.
Yeah, like if I'm like, oh, like kickball.
Yeah.
Like not he can't kick far.
Team. No.
I don't want him. No. I don't want Samoa Joe. Well, yeah, you can't
have
Samoa Joe.
I don't want Bo Dallas. I don't Bo Leave.
Like American Alpha.
Yeah, so you do a lottery system and rig the balls to come up, and they'd be like, oh, Samoa Joe's ball didn't come up with SmackDown on the back.
It's just,
I'm sorry. That's why you got to stay down.
I just
makes
don't
more
know
sense.
How this works. I'll be very interested when they do this live on SmackDown, how they pull this off.
Do they have matches during the drafts?
They're going to have to. They're going to need something.
It's not just 3 hours of drafting or 2 hours of drafting.
Like, I hope there's like a green room and shit. So,
yo,
like,
did you see people crying? In the
yeah. Room? Like, yo, I got drafted this back.
Please leave Cena at the green room.
And hopefully, the brand split isn't like the old brand split when they split up the Dudleys and ruined both of them.
Yeah. No.
So, it's a lot that I'm really concerned about with this draft. So, I'm going to watch. I'm just, like I said.
I would hope that you draft tag teams as one entity.
I hope so. I hope they don't split people up. I just got to see this in motion. I got to see how this happens.
That's so weird. I don't know. We'll get our answer in a couple of weeks, right? Real quick before we get out of here, another thing you really didn't like from this week, ROH.
Yeah. Best in the World. Did you watch it?
Best in the World. I caught most of it. If not, I checked the leaks on the dirt sheets.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, we had the show prep.
Some people liked Best in the World.
I saw the main event. I saw the Bullet Club match.
What a waste that match was to me.
Yeah, Moose had some spots that were cool. Moose is wildly athletic for a big dude, though.
Yeah, but like War Machine's in like terrible purgatory. Like,
yeah, I don't understand where War Machine is going. Is it they're too big to be champions?
Like, you start watching them, you're like you feel uncomfortable.
Yes, they're too big to be champions because I just don't believe anyone beating them for the titles.
Yeah,
like they just have to be big guys who crush shit. Like, they should not hold the belts.
A lot of those matches just didn't. Like, you're watching them, they're like, well, why is this match happening?
And they have to be dainty. Bullet Club is still kind of injured.
Right. It was like, that match was stupid. Like, I felt like watching the Silas Young ACH match, I was like, well, this would be good if it made sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's happening, but why is this really happening? Because he's not a real man because he likes Dragon Ball Z? Like, the storylines were really bad. Did you watch the Carino match?
I did.
Steve Carino and BJ Whitmer match. Okay. You're watching this match, you're like, they're just beating the shit out of each other. And then Kevin Sullivan comes out? Why doesn't Kevin Sullivan have pants on? I don't know. But that match, I'm watching.
Dalton Castle? I didn't see Dalton Castle.
The Dalton Castle match, it was okay. It was like Dalton Castle was wrestling a different style against Bobby Fish, where he was like super aggressive and like fought outside of the ring a lot. And I didn't like it. Like, it was just a lot of stuff I didn't like. Like, even the main event, which had a...
We have to go to Bola, not to cut you off. Yeah. But it's September this year.
I'm not
going. Not in August.
Not going.
Come on.
I'm not going.
Dalton Castle's there.
I know, and so is Cody Rhodes.
Yes, I think we're going to get Cody Rhodes versus Dalton Castle.
I don't know. We got to see the rest of the field.
We got to go at least one day.
Maybe.
I'll convince you.
Maybe. I've been twice, and it's hot as fuck in that building. But
at least it's September. How fucking hot is it going
to
be?
But, yeah, like the whole ROH thing, I think they got to stop leaning on New Japan so tough.
It's extremely New Japan dependent.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. You got to get off the New Japan.
Are we coming to the end of ROH? Not the end, but the end of quality ROH. Can they build stars fast enough? Because what hurts is I think Triple H is cutting them off at both ends. And it's smart business by Triple H. But it kind of sucks for ROH because the young guys are going through Evolve first. So they were lucky to sign Will Ospreay. But they didn't sign him. New Japan did. So they still can't use him full-time. And that's the guy they usually used to get. They got Leo Rush. Cool. Him and Ospreay would have been great together. Maybe they'll still have a couple matches. But outside of those two, everyone else is on Evolve. Their connection is with the WWE. So if their guy's got to go somewhere, where are they going to funnel them? So you cut them off at the legs. And then at the head, they're taking all your top talent.
It's tough sledding because it's like... Not saying the NXT. It's weird because all this stuff is happening, and I don't necessarily seeing it as the better for anybody in some cases. Like, some of the talent that the WWE is taking, I'm still concerned about. Austin Aries, for instance.
Okay.
Like, I'm still concerned about him and getting booked in these shitty angles, right?
Yeah.
But then ROH's booking has been terrible lately. Like,
but
really bad.
Now we're kind of in the odd phase where we're waiting for NXT to retool so Aries has people to fight against. Because now he's going against developmental guys, you know. He's going against No Way Jose. That's not the best
place
for Aries.
Which is actually kind of fun. Like, what, No Way Jose is funny to watch.
But he's not a great wrestler.
No.
He's not going to bring out the best in Aries. But when they bring in the next class, then it's like, okay, they just retooled. They read up.
I have my concerns. And ROH's booking is really concerning me. Now, with that being said, Jay Lethal and Briscoe was a really good match. I felt like it ended too soon because everything else took up all the time. All the crappy matches took up all the time. Yeah. And we got one hell of a false finish, too. Mm-hmm. When Briscoe pulled out the J-Driller and the lethal injection, I really thought that Briscoe was winning the title. And it's one of the few times that I was sold on that finish.
I was surprised to see Lethal win. I thought that was a year, man. Yeah. And like the perfect time for him to drop the belt.
And he's been a great champion.
He has, but a year is kind of like,
yeah,
you're getting to.
And it seems like
in 2003 ROH type shit, where people hold the belt for 2 years.
So overall, the pay per view was because I felt like the booking was like, I don't know what we're doing with some of these guys. Now we're gonna see this Bullet Club and Jay Lethal feud.
Yeah,
hopefully
Lethal's braids are gone.
Yeah, thank God.
The power is not in his hair.
Get it out of here. So,
it looked really bad, too. It looks like he's bald in the middle without the braids.
He might
be. Completely bald.
Maybe just shave
it all
off.
He has to go like Apollo Crews.
Yeah, he might have to do that. So, all in all, the ROH show was, for it to be best in the world was far from it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Adam Cole, now Adam Cole has to take the belt. Because Bullet Club, heel faction, to build them up as high as you want to build them up, you know, he has to take the belt off him.
Yeah, well, I don't want him to. Like, I want Jay Lethal to defend that title against the Bullet Club. Like, that's my problem. Like, Bullet Club is a New Japan faction.
And now, Lethal's face, that was quick.
See, I don't even
know. He's always been here.
Like, you just keep him what he is. Like, whatever Lethal is, because he's still with the House of Truth. And the
House of Truth is
a heel faction.
Correct.
You know, like, so if they feud, they feud. I just don't want the New Japan guys running in and taking over. And the union at first I thought was a good idea, but the more I'm watching it, I'm like, man, like y'all are like leaning too heavily on New Japan. Like when Ishii was the TV champ, that was cool, but then it's like now it's like
it wasn't defended enough.
Everybody's just running over the ROH talent, and I don't want to see that happen.
With that being said, you know, guys like Ricochet reportedly turned down an extension, which was buku money, if the numbers were correct, with Lucha Underground.
I need to fact check that one because I heard it was $300K a year.
$300K a year, buku, $350 I think I heard.
Yo, I'm staying in Lucha. Like, y'all,
it's not even constant. You tape two seasons.
Yeah.
So that's $300K for 2 months of work.
If that's facts,
and then still go everywhere else besides WWE.
If that's facts, he's a fool. Because, dude, I don't care what anybody like. I think Ricochet is an excellent athlete and excellent talent. He will not be the top guy in the WWE, and he will not probably make $300K a year. And what he's done on Lucha, like, I like Lucha Underground. I've been watching this religiously.
No, it's been good, yeah.
Like, I'm on season two, and I just started season two. So I'm like 5 episodes in. And I just really like it that it's an hour, it's concise, they get to the point, and there's good-ass wrestling.
Yeah. So, storylines aren't bad either.
No, they're not.
I don't mind, like, the...
They don't fool you into thinking, trying to make you think it's real. It's like, all right, this is like drama.
Exactly.
Magic and bullshit.
Yeah, crazy
like,
shit.
It's a bunch of crazy
shit. Get coins.
Yeah. Like, I like what Lucha's doing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, go back to your point about Ricochet.
Yeah, but I mean, Ricochet, you know, reportedly turning that down. It looks like a lot of people are going to migrate to NXT and WWE in the long run. And we're going to get that next influx of talent to finish it off. I figure we do, you know, a normal pound for pound list. And 5 wrestlers we expect to sign with NXT before 2017. So you got 6 months from now until then.
I don't want to see anybody. Like right now, I don't want to see anybody go to NXT.
No one?
Not until they figure this brand split out.
NXT is going to re-up. They're going to take the top talent.
Yeah, I know.
And there's not enough developmental people ready.
Just, yeah, I know. Go ahead.
You can't go with the stupid alligator wrestling kid and all that shit. Like, there's not enough talent down there ready to carry a true promotion. So they're going to raid the indies again. To me, if I had to choose 5, I think Moose is gone. I think Zack Sabre Jr. moves up because they're giving him a lot of attention, Cruiserweight Classic. Bushi, I think, is there. He's going to, I think, stay after the Classic. Ricochet, I expect to see him. If not by 2017, he's going to be that January signing like we saw right after Wrestle Kingdom.
I think that might be his final indie show. And then five, I don't know. I don't know when Adam Cole's deal is up. Who just left ROH? We just had it going away. Like
Roderick Strong.
Roderick Strong. I'd probably put Roddy there. Just because why would Roddy leave?
Well, yeah, I think Roddy's gone. And
where do you go if you're Roddy? That's better. Nowhere.
Yeah.
I think Roddy would be that fifth guy. And I'm sure there'll be a couple people surprise us. You know, last June we would have never said Nakamura and AJ Styles would be in the WWE in 6 months.
That's true. That is very true.
So they pull some shit out of, you know, hats. I like TM61. I'm glad they got there already. Yeah, that's a dope signing.
I don't really even have a top five. Like, everybody that you said kind of works for me. I can't pick these guys until the brand split happens. I just don't want
to
see.
I think Omega has to go as soon as that shit's up on his contract.
I just think, like, guys like Kenny Omega, guys like Adam Cole might not fit in NXT.
I think Omega better than Cole. Cole's body type, he's going to get Austin Aries'd.
Yeah, like, they're small. Like, Kenny Omega's small.
Think they
like,
get Red Dragon? Do you think a team like that fit? Because you know what? I didn't think the mechanics fit for a while, and then they're the Revival, and to me, they're one of my favorites.
Yeah,
they're one of my favorites. So do you, you know, they were Smash Mouth, and I was like, how do they fit?
Yeah.
And then they made them fit. So now do you go complete, like, you know, submission-style wrestling with Red Dragon?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Like,
super technical. You love the technical shit. I mean, they bring in Zack Sabre Jr. They love the technical shit. Can Red Dragon work as a tag team? They don't have a super technical tag team.
Yeah. We got to see how this Cruiserweight Classic goes. I've still stayed away from the spoilers, thank God.
I have, too. I've pat myself on the back.
You know, I'm looking. I don't know who the next wave of guys that come in. You know, it's like, do you sign? I mean, even like somebody like Moose, I feel like it's buried somewhere in NXT. I don't think they
you
got to
cut Titus Young if you sign Moose.
Oh, Titus
Moose
O'Neil?
Is a better, or excuse me,
you
Titus
just,
O'Neil.
You just blended Darren those
Young,
two guys together.
Cut them both. Cut them both. cut Titus O'Neil and Darren Young while you're at it. Fuck it. no, because Moose
two
is
for
a,
one.
Moose is a better Titus O'Neil.
Yeah, no, he is. Like, I didn't even talk about the Titus O'Neil Rusev program for this week.
It doesn't
I don't
matter.
Want to, it
Titus O'Neil is building himself up to get crushed again.
But it's working in reverse. Like, you already got beat. Now you're mad?
Yeah.
You've been mad before. But anyway, yeah, like, guys
embarrassed
like.
In front of your children.
Like, Roddy, I can see going into NXT. Like, if NXT is going to be true developmental, or if it's going to be its own real promotion where some guys eventually get to the main roster, then I can see, like, a Zack Sabre and an Adam Cole, and I can see those guys there because they're going to wrestle there without the main goal of going up. It's going to be its own brand. But if it's, like, developmental to get to the main roster, like, I don't want to see, like, Adam Cole on the main roster right now.
Oh, Riddle will be there in 6 months. I forgot Riddle.
Yeah, Riddle should be there. So, yeah, your picks are fine with me. I don't really have anybody else to add to that list.
You just don't want to see people get taken.
I don't. I'm in my underground hip-hop phase right now. I don't want to see you sign to a major.
Yeah, and you know what? People still got a lot of development to do. I mean, we're looking at ROH, and it's like, yo, they're having trouble building storylines.
Yeah.
These guys still need seasoning. If Dalton Castle gets signed, though, I'm losing my shit.
Dalton Castle's a star.
And I'm losing my mind if they sign him, and they better not change his character. Yeah. That's one of the guys you bring in, and you bring in the boys.
Yeah.
The whole thing. You keep everything. It's
Dalton's
perfect.
Dalton's a star, but he'll be around for a minute. So, yeah. That's it. We got to get out of here, man.
Yeah, we got to go. We got crazy stuff to do. Make sure you check us out next week. We should be recording around Wednesday. We'll get the final date for you guys. We'll post all this on social media so you know where to keep up and find us during the week. If you come into Vegas for UFC 200 week, make sure to check out the Las Vegas Fight Club here in the Planet Hollywood for signings all throughout the week. We'll post those and retweet those on all our social media. You can follow me at Kel Dansby on every platform.
And me at Andreas Hill.
And you can follow the show at The Corner LSN on all social media as well. Listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, everywhere that you can listen to music or your favorite podcast. We're on there. Until next week, we're out.
Peace.